spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
They are your Lord Israel, the Lord Israel.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light. This program comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's play, adapted for radio by Milton Wayne, is based on a story entitled The Wise Men of Helm, written by Dr. Solomon Simon. Roger DeCoven is the narrator. Once on the large maps of the world, there was marked a small town, the town of Helm, for which fact let us be thankful, for if the city of Helm and its inhabitants had never existed, surely for the high esteem in which we hold ourselves, someone would have had to invent it, and the time taken for such invention might have deprived the world of such graces as double-entry bookkeeping, the can opener, or even perhaps radio itself. But fortunately for us, the town of Helm once did exist, and its citizens were known throughout all the civilized world as the Wise Men of Helm.
The Wise Men of Helm? Sure, I've heard of them. But some people say that the Wise Men of Helm are fools.
Don't you believe it, not for a minute.
They're no fools. It's just that foolish things are always happening to them, as we shall see.
Helmites, after 7 days and 7 nights of uninterrupted thinking, we have come to a decision. No longer will we suffer a cold, bitter winter with no firewood to warm our home.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Do you hear, Helmites? A way has been found. New Gimple, tell us at once, what is the plan?
This very spring, we shall build a high brick wall all around the town. And when winter comes, it will keep out the cold.
A brilliant plan. It dazzles like a diamond in the sunlight.
Amazing.
No longer need any Helmite fear. The thieves will pick the lock on his door and steal his goods.
True. On the seventh night of the seventh day of discussion, we have found a plan.
All Helmites will remove their doors and carry them about on their backs. Thus, no thief will be able to break the lock and enter.
The little town of Helm lay deep in the forests of Poland, quite hidden from all the world. The men who lived there had long beards and curly sidelocks around their ears. They wore long, shiny black coats that reached to their ankles and striped prayer shawls with thick fringes, just like Jews all over that part of the world at that time. Except that there was something peculiar about the worthy citizens of Helm, something odd about the way they did things. Truth to tell, they weren't really quite like other people.
There's nothing much to ponder about. They're fools, just plain fools. But what is truly remarkable is how so many fools all came together in one little town.
And therein, too, lie several tales. But the most authentic concerns a very minor angel known as Michael the Messenger.
It's my fault that it happened many, many years ago. I was carrying a sack full of foolish souls back to heaven for repairs. And I lost my way in a terrible storm, and I flew over Helm. The town, as you know, lies in a valley completely surrounded by high mountains. Well, on the topmost peak of the highest mountain stood a tall pointed tree. Suddenly, as I struggled through the storm, the bottom of the sack caught and tore on the treetop. And alas, all the poor, damaged souls spilled out of the ripped sack, rolled down the mountainside into hell. And there they stayed from that day on.
Now, it is written in the town records of Helm that the citizens built a mill on top of a mountain where there was no water. And when they found the mill did not work for some mysterious reason, they dismantled the mill. Thus, the Helmites lost their opportunity to become wealthy and instead became poor as blind beggars. And one day, little Beryl the Beetle leaned against an empty herring barrel in the town square and poured forth his misery to Gimple, the town's leading citizen.
The Almighty has forgotten us, Gimple. It's just as if we didn't exist.
You're a fool, Beryl. Isn't it well known that God provides the weaver with thread and the beggar with bread?
But all we have is potatoes. Sunday and Monday, potatoes. And on Tuesday and Wednesday, more potatoes. On Thursday and Friday, you eat potatoes again.
Ah, but on the Sabbath...
Then, for a change, we eat potato pudding. For weeks, I've been dreaming.
Of what?
The same thing you and all Helmites dream. Of a piece of herring.
A piece of herring and a slab of fresh black bread.
Stop, Dimple. Please stop.
We shall have it, Beetle.
Dimple, tell me, are you ill?
The people of Helm shall have herring.
Please, Gimple, come out of the sun. Lie down.
Stop pulling at me. Run to Mottle the mayor.
Please, I'm too hungry to run.
Tell him to call a town meeting at once. Tell him I have a plan. I have a plan. Let's buy 5 barrels of salted red herring and 5 barrels of salted white herring. Then we'll dump the herring into the Helm River so that they can increase and multiply as do all God's creatures.
A marvelous idea! Marvelous!
Wait till you hear it all. Next year we'll hire some fishermen who catch as many herring as we want. Ha ha, but we'll be smart. We'll make sure to leave a few fish in the river to increase and multiply again. In this way, we can have herring forever.
An inspiration truly worthy of the foremost citizen of Helm.
Such beautiful herring. It broke my heart to throw them into the river. The smell is driving me crazy. Gimple, how long must we wait for the increasing and multiplying?
Pena, the philosopher, has studied these matters. He says we're to wait a year and a day.
So long?
A year and a day from now, the fishermen will come with their nets. And every Helmite will then have herring 3 times a day.
How can I stand it? A whole year and a day.
Muddlehead, what do you want?
I kept a record. It's a year and a day. I'm famished for a piece of herring. I couldn't sleep a wink. Come.
No, tomorrow, Beryl. We'll wait one more day for good measure. And tomorrow the fishermen will cast their nets. Quickly! Come on, now, quickly! Throw it in the net. Well, fishermen, let's see the catch.
Here, look.
What is it?
Nothing. A few bits of weed and a little mud. Nothing.
Throw out the nets again. The fish must be there.
An old torn boot. Nothing yet that would be very tasty with onions.
Throw the nets again.
Nothing, nothing, nothing.
The sun will soon be down. Hurry, hurry, throw the nets again.
Tremendous claws.
We've dragged up a monster.
No, a lobster, the biggest we've ever caught.
Gimple, what's the matter? You look as if you're going to burst.
Look, Hermes, look there at your culprit. There is the thief. Look closely at this ugly, unclean monster, gorged to bursting with the blood of our helpless Harry. Pinya, the philosopher, why should we wait?
Who ever heard of tearing a lobster apart? One speaks of tearing a herring apart, but never, never a lobster.
Then what shall we do with the thief?
How shall we punish it?
Yes, how shall we punish it?
Shh. Horrible is the crime.
Horrible, horrible.
And horrible shall be the punishment. What is more frightful death than drowning? In the time of Noah, when God decided to punish the whole wicked world, did he not send a flood upon it?
Yes, a terrible, terrible flood.
Therefore, let this fiendish glutton be drowned.
And Pinya, the philosopher, in recognition of your wise verdict, you may have the honor of seizing the lobster and throwing it into the deepest part of the river.
Thank you.
Careful, Pinya, it may bite.
Thus do the Helmites take revenge on the greedy murderer of their herring.
It was shortly after the Great Moon Disaster when the Helmites attempted to capture that celestial body in a barrel that they began to build their new synagogue. They worked with zeal, and in no time at all, the walls were up and there was the roof, its bright red shingles proudly gleaming in the sun. So far, so good. No quarrels, not even a crossword. That is sad to relate. Until it came to laying the floor. Then the fur began to fly. Helm was split in two, those in favor of smooth boards and those against. Never was there such a commotion in heaven.
Stop it, trivial matter. After all, this is Helm. This is Helm, not Chedlitz or some other town full of simpletons.
True, true, a most serious matter.
When the day of fasting, when Yom Kippur comes.
A most solemn day, most solemn.
On that day, Jews remove their shoes in the synagogue and pray in their stockinged feet. Now, if the floorboards were not plain smooth, some Helmite might get a splinter in his foot. A splinter leads to a sore foot. A sore foot may cause one to fall and break his neck. Helmites, do you want a broken neck?
Oh, who wants a broken neck? Listen, Helmites! Listen to me! True, there is some danger if the boards are not planed, but there is even greater peril if the boards are too smooth. For on Simchas Torah, which is a very joyous holiday...
A most joyous holiday. We finish reading the Torah and start it again. Most joyous.
On that day, Jews dance in the synagogue with the Holy Torah in their arms. On a planed floor, they'd naturally slip and fall. Then all of Helam would have to fast and mourn for 40 days and 40 nights because the Holy Torah had been dropped.
A calamity. A
matter was referred to a meeting of the town's leading minds, and for 7 days and seven nights they thought about it and thought about it. And finally, on the seventh night of the seventh day, a Helmite solution was announced by Mottl the mayor.
The boards must indeed be smooth because the danger of splinters on Yom Kippur is great. But let only one side be planed. Then lay the smooth, plain side face downwards with the rough side up so that when the Helmites dance on Simcha's Torah, they won't slip and fall with the Holy Torah in their arms.
And so it was done. The new synagogue was completed and all Helm celebrated. They danced and sang, ate and drank, and only one person was sad. Muttle, the mayor.
What's the matter, Mayor Muttle? Why the long face?
Oh, Beryl, Beryl. The synagogue is too beautiful.
Too beautiful? Mm. You remind me of the bridegroom who complained that his bride was too pretty.
Gimple, did you hear what this fool just said?
What did I say that was bad?
Didn't it ever occur to you that the synagogue's so beautiful, it might be stolen?
Stolen?
Oh, of course. The mayor is right. The danger is very serious. Beryl, tomorrow morning, before anything else, take a brush and paint Zehashu Sheyoch Lehelem in huge letters on the front wall of the synagogue.
What do those words mean, Gimple?
This synagogue belongs to Helm.
Now, that's a brilliant idea, Gimple. Let them steal it now. What can they do with it? Wherever they take it, everyone will know that it's stolen goods.
Some years passed. Things were going well in Helm. The crops were plentiful and the bins were bursting with grain. Suddenly now there was too much of everything. The Helmites were worried.
Oh, we've never had this kind of a problem before.
Oh, something has to be done.
Let's call a town meeting.
For 7 days and seven nights, they thrashed the matter around, and Pinya the philosopher pondered and pondered. He took off his shoes and pondered some more. And no solution came forth but a small idea.
Whereas Helm never suffered from prosperity before the miller came to our town, and whereas we do suffer now, therefore let it be concluded that we demand an explanation from the miller.
Beryl, run and fetch the miller at once. Well, miller, what is your answer to this charge?
Helmite? I have a suggestion. Why don't you go into business?
Business? What does he mean, business?
What does it mean, this going into business?
Oh, going into business means buying and selling.
Listen to him. If we buy something, naturally we need it for ourselves. So why should we sell it?
Well, buy things that you don't need.
Why should we buy things we don't need? Are you crazy? Are you from Shedlitz?
Let me explain. Buy things you yourselves don't need and sell them to the farmers who pass through Helm.
Oh, so. Then how does it work?
Well, the idea is to buy cheap and sell dear. For example, you buy a pair of boots for 5 gulden and sell it for 6 gulden.
A gulden for nothing. Yeah. Did you hear that? A gulden?
One neither sows nor plows nor does anything. And yet one gets a gulden. Why?
Well, that's the way business is done.
Well, then, if that's all there is to business, maybe we ought to try it.
Thus, business came to Helm, and with it the rich got richer and the poor got worries. And as always happens, the poor came to be jealous of the rich, and the rich came to fear the poor. That was the way of the world, and even Helm was no exception. Even in the synagogue, the wealthy would be seated in their own pews at the east wall near the holy ark and the pulpit, while the poor would stand squeezed together at the rear near the stove and alongside the wash basin. Finally, one hot summer Sabbath, the long-suffering poor stopped the services and appealed to the rabbi.
We claim our ancient right to interrupt the services and to prevent the Torah reading until our wrongs are righted.
What are your wrongs, my people?
Rabbi, why do the rich live on milk and honey while we live on air?
Why do the rich wear Sabbath clothes on weekdays while we wear weekday clothes on the Sabbath?
Rabbi, there is no justice in hell.
True, my children. There is no justice in hell. But it must be somewhere. For does not the Torah say, justice, justice, let us pursue? It must have slipped away to some other place while we were doing business. Let us therefore send two messengers out into the world to pursue justice and bring it back to Helm. Enough for rich and poor alike.
And so the two messengers set out into the world to pursue justice. Wherever they went, they would ask,
good people, can you tell us where to buy a little justice?
And everywhere they were given the same reply.
No use looking. We too lack that little item. If we knew where to get some, we'd sell the shirts off our backs.
The Helmites rode on. They rode and rode until they came to Warsaw. There, a pair of sharp rogues caught sight of the country yokels and approached them.
Friends, how would you like to get a fine bargain? We can sell you the Vistula Bridge cheap or the Saxony Gardens. Or perhaps you're interested in the Warsaw Synagogue.
No, good folks. We don't want the bridge or the gardens. And as for the synagogue, we have a fine new one of our own in Helm.
Oh, so you're from Helm?
Yes, yes, we're Helmites.
And what is it then that two such wise men from Helm seek in Warsaw?
Justice is what we seek. We've traveled far and wide and cannot find a crumb of justice to save our lives.
Look no further, Helmites. Your search is ended. We can sell you as much justice as you want.
Can you sell us a whole barrelful?
Well, justice, as you know, is a very expensive article. But if you can afford it, we'll manage to get you a barrelful.
Will 2,000 gold pieces be enough?
Is that all you have?
That's every kopeck.
Then it'll have to do. After all, we can't let you go back to Helm without justice. Come with us. Here it is. Your barrel full of justice.
Thank you, thank you.
Make sure not to jostle the barrel on the way. The cover might fly off and some of the treasure might be spilled. And you know how hard it is to get justice these days.
You don't have to tell us that. Why, we'll carry it like a steaming bowl of delicious chicken soup.
The messengers finally returned, and there was great rejoicing in Helm. After elaborate ceremonies in the town square, Mottl the mayor broke the seals, loosened the nails, and pried open the barrel cover while all of Helm crowded around, eager to see what the justice of the world looked like. As he lifted the cover, Mottl the mayor sprang back in horror.
Ah! It smells of rotten fish! Alas, the justice is spoiled!
The justice of the world smells bad. Take heed! Take heed, oh, you Helmites who complain of the justice of Helm! There! That's the kind of justice you have in the rest of the world!
Poor people of Helm, listen to me! If there is no justice in Helm, and even the justice of the world has been spoiled, then it doesn't matter what we do. We can take whatever we must.
They called a town meeting immediately, and there was talking and thinking and thinking and talking for 7 days and seven nights. And at last they came to a brilliant compromise.
From this day on, whenever an ox is slaughtered, let the entire animal consist only of choicest parts.
Let all parts be alike. Then there'll be no difference which part one buys. Likewise, let it be known to all that the entire synagogue is the east wall and the center pews. Then, to be sure, there will be no difference where a person sits. But since it happens that the rich may be foolish enough to wish to pay more in order to sit at the former east wall, likewise, since they may desire to pay more for the former fine cuts of meat, then let them be welcome to their foolishness.
And so it was done. Yes, in Helm, times had changed, and everything was just as before. For many years, the town of Helm stood unique in the world. Then a terrible fire burned the synagogue and the town's dwellings to the ground, and the rabbi called his flock from their mourning.
My children, the Lord works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. This is a sign from on high. Like the destruction of Jerusalem in ancient times, the destruction of Helm is a sign that we must go out into the world and spread the wisdom that is our heritage and our tradition. Like our forefathers of old, let us go forth with courage in our hearts to fulfill our destiny.
Not with sorrow and not with tears, but proudly, the Helmites went forth and dispersed over the face of the earth. They mingled with all the peoples of the world and dutifully spread the wisdom that was once the pride of Helm alone. And so, dear listener, if you should sometimes discover a bit of the Helmite in yourself, you'll know the reason why.